Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
President Zelensky in Ukraine has paid tribute to Joe Biden, but let's go to Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. And Joe, it seems like Ukraine, though, is continuing to reach out to Republicans and Democrats and avoid being sucked into our politics. Is that the way you see it there?
Bob, good afternoon from Kyiv. And yes, indeed, that's the tricky thing that President Zelensky and Ukrainians in general must navigate. And I think Zelensky's proved himself pretty adept at, to quote Rudyard Kipling, being able to walk with kings and yet maintain the common touch, you know, maintain this fine line of keeping up, you know, because, and not just with the United States, but he's had to do the same with the United Kingdom, with their recent elections and the change in government, although that's been less of a question. The Labour Party has supported Ukraine just as the Tories did, but then also with France, with the changes in government there. And so this is a big challenge. And I think the biggest of these challenges is dealing with the situation in the United States. And, you know, I've been in Kyiv for just over a week. It's been several weeks now since a major attack on the city, since that attack on the children's hospital. And there's continued intense fighting at the front lines. Frontline cities like Nikopol in the south are shelled all the time. But when it comes to major dramatic Russian attacks on Ukrainian cities, that's slowed down. We haven't seen a lot of that. And as I've looked at, you know, sort of examining the cycles of the past 2.5 years, you know, it seems when Russia seems when they think that they are sort of winning sort of the propaganda war, when they have more and more people speaking of negotiations, I think they don't see a need to have these attacks, major attacks on Ukrainian cities. I mean, you know, the last major dramatic day of missile attacks was on the eve of the NATO summit. And we see, you know, what emerged from that summit. There was no new decisive stance in favor of Ukraine, despite an impetus from Ukrainians and members of the international press to push the White House to give Ukraine permission to hit Russians on Russian soil. That was not forthcoming. In fact, that was explicitly rejected. So Russians have not, it seems that they don't need to have a major traumatic attack on Ukrainian cities right now, because what they achieved 2 weeks ago worked right before the NATO summit. It scared the world. And so I think there's a strong sense of that. But meanwhile, I mean, of course, here every day, you know, with the power outages, people continue to feel the effects of previous attacks. It's about 20 degrees cooler this week. It's about 80 degrees instead of 100. And so, you know, once you've endured what everyone went through, as you know full well there, 100 degree temperatures, 80 degrees is all right. Even if you have to climb 15 or 20 flights with no power, you know, you're tougher and stronger. And, you know, as I think about this idea of tougher and stronger, I see so much of this around me here every day. And just a few hours ago, I had a conversation with an English photographer, chef, and writer named Giles Dooley. He became famous because he lost, he was already famous as a photographer, but he was embedded in Afghanistan years ago with American troops, and he stepped on a landmine. He lost arm and leg. And within about a year later, he was back in Afghanistan already, and missing that arm and leg. And he's dedicated himself to helping others who've suffered as he has in wartime. He created this Legacy in War Foundation. And he says his mission is breaking down barriers so people can empower themselves. He said that all the conflicts and wars he's been in, including here in Ukraine, have showed that you can't empower others. Only you can empower yourself. But what other people can do is take away those barriers. And he said, you know, so many... And he said this applies to Ukraine, but it's been the problem all over the world. When a war or conflict starts, you get the, and I've seen this too myself, you get the big fancy nonprofits, and they show up and they raise a lot of money and they do some good, but then they get out and they don't build sustainable long-term programs for people that have to live with the effects of the war. And so they really don't help in the end. And just take the issue of kids who lose arms and legs. well, they have to continually get refitted as they grow into teens and adults. It's like buying new shoes. You have to get a new arm or a new leg or a new foot. You know, it's a long process. And so that part is often neglected, and people give money to giant NGOs thinking they're helping, but those people skedaddle after. You don't really see them now here 2.5 years into it. It's more of these stalwarts, such as Giles Dooley. And even, for example, big NGOs will train people on how to demine, but he said that they don't teach them how to create an organization that's sustainable so that on their own they can continue raising money in 3 years after everyone's left, or 5 years. And so that's part of his mission. Is to, you know, as someone who's deeply, you know, physically felt the trauma of war, to help people in that way. And I see so many people like that around me every day. I met a New York Times reporter, Kim Barker. She was portrayed by Tina Fey in the movie Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. And it's, you know, it's you, in some ways, Ukraine feels like this very intense summer camp, like at the edge of space and time, you know, with these incredibly brave souls, everyone here on some mission, bringing their life experience here, facing fear every single day, in order to, you know, try to make the world a bit better, in order to make specific individual lives a bit better. And so as we look at, you know, the unknowns of the elections, and you know, there's questions about, you know, if Vice President Harris becomes president, you know, how different will her Ukraine policy be from Joe Biden? Already there were questions of the Biden administration policy. I mean, really, you know, sort of, I think there's a deep recognition that it's been sort of the maximum of the minimum, refusing to let Ukraine go on the offensive. And then, of course, questions about Trump and Vance. And so amid all that uncertainty, I see people here who just keep their heads down and keep doing everything they can every day to make things a little bit better.
Unbelievable. So many amazing people and amazing stories there in Ukraine. And Joseph, you're in Kyiv, and I was reading about the big music festival that returned there over the weekend. And I don't know if you had a chance to go there, but to me, it's unbelievable that they had this event and got thousands of people to show up.
Yeah, you know, I didn't go. I saw a bit about it, and it is, you know, these are signs of increasing safety and success here. Because a year ago, you could do something like that in Lviv in the West, but not here in Kyiv. And now Kyiv is, you know, largely protected because of these Patriot missile defense systems. And there's a good, you know, you have enough time, enough sense of warning before something happens. And it has indeed. And it was a quiet weekend here, so it was able to, people were able to do it. And you know, and sometimes you see, you know, people who I understand many Americans, I mean, they don't trust what they hear because they just feel sort of left out about the way things are working in the world. They don't trust the government about war and money. And then they see people at a festival in Kyiv celebrating, and the Russians use this in their propaganda. They're like, oh, this is not real. But you see in the war that people they need these moments of connection. It could be the last time. It could be the last time you hang out with your loved ones. And you realize that, you know, I mean, for every person on the planet, life is limited, but you deeply feel that here. And so I think that makes people want to enjoy and celebrate all the more. And so that's and that's, as we talk so much about it, that's so much part of the Ukrainian culture. And I mentioned last week that Ukrainian priest philosopher Father Andriy Zelensky, who advises the military, and he was talking about in order to have freedom. And I his actual quote was, the only thing that can save your freedom is a sense of wonder. And it was his exact quote about this idea of saving your freedom, that we can lose our freedom. And if you stop living and you only stay in fear and you stop singing and enjoying life and being part of the world, you lose your sense of wonder and you lose your freedom. And then that's when you start to lose your hope. And so I think that's why in these difficult days, you know, people, as I mentioned, you know, sometimes people just kind of laugh. You can hear in their laugh a little bit of despondency because and bewilderment at how, you know, and wondering, is this going to work? And sometimes the only way you can respond to that is to joke around or to go to a concert and try to keep living.
I'll tell you something. They had that big music fest there in Kyiv in a shopping mall parking lot. And next time I'm frustrated because of the way people are driving in a parking lot, and I'm thinking this is dangerous here, and I'll think of the people who brave war at a music fest in a Kyiv shopping mall parking lot. Really something. Joseph Lindsley, thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Bob. Always, there's always perspective.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.